This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Hello and welcome to Dave Hill's Podcasting Incident with me, Dave Hill, the pride of Cleveland and beyond. I once got some free sprinkles outside of Denver. I didn't even order a cone either, which is what made it so weird. Anyway, thank you for joining me once again for Dave Hill's Podcasting Incident. This is our first episode in the year 2020. 2020. Chris, add some echo after I said 2020. It'll sound cool. Anyway, I'm very excited. This is hot off the presses. Let's just get into it. I should probably tell you where I'm going to be coming up. I'm going to be at Sketchfest. Go to sfsketchfest.com. I'll be there January 18th and 19th. And then I'll put some more exciting dates on my website. But lots of mayhem and majesty coming up. Madness and other things, words that begin with M. But let's just get into today's episode because there's a lot of it and it's just going all over the place. Very excited about my guest, and I've already begged her to come back because given my rambling manner of discourse and my penchant for digression and just yammering on about myself endlessly, I really blew it in terms of asking her a lot of the things that I wanted to ask her. But she is Jessie Paris Smith. She's a singer, songwriter, composer, instrumentalist, activist, producer, and co-founder of Pathway to Paris, which we touch on a little bit, that last bit. But there's so many things. We just scratched the surface. There is a call to action in this episode for all you artists out there to draw a version of what you imagine Jessie Paris Smith's cheese plate would be, and I'm going to make t-shirts and we will sell them, and all profits will go to Pathway to Paris. This will all be revealed in further detail in this episode. But Jessie, I've known for a little while now. She's excellent. We live not far from each other. So she was kind enough to stop on over and chat with me for a bit and hang out with me and Lucy. And I hope you enjoyed so much. Here now is my delightful conversation with Jessie Paris Smith. We're just jumping in right here, talking about our admiration for cheese plates, and
it's a really big deal. It's important.
Do you find this? I was out. Even though you're my guest on this podcast, Jessie Paris Smith, and now I'm as usual talking about myself. But I was out with a friend I hadn't hung out with in a long time back in Ohio, and we hadn't hung out in so long. He was like asking me, he's like, "What do you do for fun?" And I was like, "Well, I feel lucky enough that, like, kind of, I guess what I do for a living is just what I do for, like, it's all the same thing." But I was like, "Really, all I want to do is hang out and, like, eat cheese plates and stuff. Like, truly do not want to do. I like playing with my dog. Love that.
That's the best thing ever.
But I don't want to do. I like all the stuff that I do. All it is like placeholder until I can get back to like hanging out and like having coffee or wine or
whatever. You know what's really funny about this? My godmother and I were just talking about the beauty and magic of the cheese plate and the charcuterie board like 2 days ago. Because she lives in Boston, and she just sold like a bakery cafe, and she just sold it. Mm-hmm. And when I would go visit her, like, she had a very, like, strict daily tradition that after her work shift, she'd go home when MASH came on, get the wine, make the cheese plate, sit down on the chair, and watch MASH, because it had like 3 episodes in a row, and I loved going there and doing that. And then she told me the other day, she's like, guess what? There's no more MASH. Like, they stopped showing MASH. They replaced it with Everybody Loves Raymond instead
of MASH.
That's
a big, no offense to Everybody Loves Raymond.
But I was like, what about the cheese plate?
But.
And she said, we can still do the cheese plate.
Yeah, yeah, you can
to,
totally
figure it out. But,
something
yeah.
else.
But I loved that tradition. It just looked forward to it so much. Like, in
she
the morning,
would have a cheese plate
tonight,
and wine every plate. Day?
Yeah, and watch MASH.
That's luxury living.
It's like the best. Well, after like a crazy full day of like running this like business by yourself.
I mean, I say it like I wouldn't do that. I just think I wouldn't be able to maintain my...
Well, she would like
figure
like chop up like the little meats and like a little fruit, maybe like a couple of walnuts, like a very like
strategic, a reasonable
like a
I'm not judge whatever she's doing.
A glass
I'm not
menagerie
judging her.
of goodness.
Yeah, I love it.
But everyone feel this is something I've talked to my mom about. It's like because my mom would make my dad this. She called them snack plates.
Mm-hmm.
But like we were talking
that was before we had. Fancy
yeah,
words.
Yeah, this was like just, yeah.
We
but
didn't...
before it was charcuterie board.
Yeah, but I, like, that's only, I've only been
crudité.
Aware of. Crudité I've only learned recently, and I feel like I've been eating that my whole life.
Right?
Yeah, it's a, crudité is a fancier word. It's too fancy for what it is, right?
It's just like veggies and dip.
Yeah, that seems like a charcuterie. You're like, yeah, I could, that matches.
Right.
Crudité, though, that's like...
snack plate just gets to the... To
yeah,
the, down to, like,
to what's really going on.
It's a snack plate. Let's just be honest. Let's get real. But we were talking about how everyone has, like, their way of doing it. And, like, you have your way of making the cheese plate, the snack board. Like, and it's not everyone. It says, like, a lot about your style and your personality. When you, you know, if we all, like, 10 people made their own snack board cheese plate, I bet they would all... be a little bit different, right?
What is your snack board cheese plate method? Like, what if left to your own devices, you're just like, I'm gonna make this happen. What would you do? Like, how would it go down?
Like, could I go to the shop and
you
get?
You can do however can you have it. Access to.
Yeah.
And well, you, okay, but in say in New York, like
okay.
in your
well,
neighborhood
yeah,
in
yeah.
New York, we're not. You can't be magically whisked away anywhere.
Okay, so it has, like, wow, Lucy.
This,
she wants
this
snack
is the
plate.
First half of it. As anyone who's ever heard this podcast knows, the first half is basically.
Look at her face.
Yeah, she's like, you guys can talk about. Do you like cheese plates?
You just made her a cheese plate. What is this?
Basically, those are like chicken patties. Though this is, the one thing is, and ironically, because she's eating, she'll eat anything, but I used to be full on the charcuterie aspect, and then because of her, when, like, 4 years ago, first time in my life, I was like, it's like, oh, all the cows and pigs, that's like Sweet Lucy.
Aww.
And I just stopped.
That's
and
so
then,
good.
And I don't care what anyone else, anyone can do what, like, But and I miss it. It's absolutely delicious. But
yeah, that's why you keep saying cheese plate only. Are you a vegan?
No.
Do you think you would try
I
it?
I ate eggs.
But what about the cheese plate?
I think I could. I'll say this. this is what I deal with. The, Lucy is now destroying the couch. to pretend like the ball has been lost. I think she might lie down. Okay,
oh,
I think
good
she's.
Girl, that's nice.
Do you mind if she's lying on your coat?
No, please, all day.
So, I was in this band probably like 9 or 10 years ago. We did these tours, and everyone in the band.
What was it called?
It was Walter Schreifel's band. Do you know Walter?
Mm-mm.
He's like. Quicksand, Gorilla Biscuits.
Oh.
It's like a New York
hardcore
legendary person,
cool.
A good buddy of mine. And I think that's a hardcore legendary person. And but I was playing in a solo band, and everyone in the band was either vegetarian or vegan, except for me. I was just a free-for-all.
Mm.
at the time. And so we would show up to all these venues in Europe. And because, you know, when you tour, like, hospitality in Europe, you know, it's like so much better than here. Like, if you play a club and they treat you like you're playing like Radio City or something.
What did you find that they did for you differently?
You show up for a sound check and there's like a spread of
Food wise.
There's cheese plates. There's food. You show up and there's like a tray of like fresh vegetables that look like they were probably picked out of a garden by some like beautiful woman in a headscarf. and then there would be like bread and cheese or whatever. But so we would go to these different cities, and some cities assumed we were all vegetarian and some thought we were all vegan.
Yeah.
And so at first I was like, no, but we're in Germany. I want sausage.
Right.
And then I was like, all right, this is fine. And then I learned, well, first of all, I learned that it's really, well, and we don't have to go on a sausage tangent, but not.
Some people might disagree with you.
I know. No, we'll come back to it. But I found that the vegan places, like when they thought we were just vegan, they like you have to try harder to make good food.
Right.
If you can't just throw eggs and cheese and butter in, like
And did they succeed nicely? Did you?
Yeah, those were the better meals because like they had to like.
And did that shift your diet?
Not at all.
But it was a nice break.
No,
you
it
were,
was
like,
a nice break. Yeah,
long.
Yeah. For the tour, I would basically be.
Which is the opposite of what usually happens. Most of the time people go on tour and then they eat trash and they get gain weight and they feel yucky.
Totally.
But you went on tour and you had some nice vegan moments.
I probably gained weight too because I was, in every other way I was horrible. Like I drank way too much and I shouldn't even admit this because of the young people out there. But I would, I would say most of the band smoked. I didn't, except I was like, I'll smoke on this tour.
Right.
And I would smoke like one or two cigarettes a night, like being a drunk social idiot.
Yeah.
But then the second I get home, I wouldn't do it anymore.
Yeah, yeah. I thought you were going to say something
a
lot worse. Oh, I was bracing. I was like, take a deep breath.
I was on.
Brace for impact.
I did speedballs every day of the tour. No, no, I've never done anything like that.
You're like, for the young people to protect them. I had two cigarettes. It was.
Well, no.
But I thought that was nice that what actually you said was so not so terrible.
No, I mean, that's pretty much as bad as, that's truly as bad as it get, as it has ever been with me.
That's so good.
Like, I got drunk and smoked a cigarette. It would be like the height of debauchery for me. But on that same tour, though, and I swear, you're the guest, and now I'm just...
No.
We haven't even, I'm the worst.
Listen.
I'm the worst. We haven't even gotten back to your ideal cheese plate.
No, it's suspenseful.
We're going to come back to the ideal...
Maybe we should do it like in a month from now, so people will be like, what is it? They'll be like driven crazy and like not be able to sleep because they're wondering about my cheese plate. And then people will start like coming up with their predictions of what it is and like... painting it and drawing it and like 3D
They're
renderings.
They're probably romanticizing
and,
it into this.
Or
yeah.
Like chefs will like design it. Restaurants will come up with their ideas and then like you can go and try it.
Okay, I'm putting this
Maybe
out
it's like
there
a call,
to the listener.
Like a call for submissions.
This is what we'll do. Okay, artists out there listening, do a drawing or any medium of what you think Jesse Paris Smith's cheese plate looks like. And the winner, I will make a limited edition run of t-shirts. All profits going to Pathway to Paris, which we'll get into. See how I brought it all in? We're going to come back. We need to cover that. But,
this is exciting.
This is, look, we've just raised $20 for Pathway to Paris.
So wait, so is it any medium? Like, can it be oil painting, like charcoal drawing, 3D renderings? Are we trying to keep it to like a specific
I think maybe
medium?
2D is better for 2D. T-shirts. Probably one color is better.
Yeah, okay.
So
like a pen drawing.
That's probably best for shirts pencil in drawing. General. But
yeah. No 3D rendering.
No,
not yet.
Though, why not? Maybe someone will do something in felt or something.
Have you seen that company where you can go in, and it's on West Broadway, I think, and you go in and they take a photo of you and then they print like a 3D print like doll of you?
Oh,
like
no.
It's super accurate and crazy.
I'm not ready for that.
My friend did it. It's wild.
Really?
Yeah.
But what if they catch me? I mean, I don't know that I have good days. I was going to say, what if they catch me on a bad day?
I mean, they're not going to...
They might
like,
all be bad
You
days.
Can say, no, I don't want that.
Throw that in the trash.
They're not going to not show it to you and, like, secretly print it. Maybe. I don't know.
Oh, God.
Are you okay? Are you thinking?
Well, oh, in closing, and then we're coming back to the cheese plate. Maybe we'll never get back to the cheese plate. But on this same, well, there was a couple tours that I've just described where I would eat and then smoke cigarettes. But also on that first of these few tours we did is when I started running.
Oh, wow.
So.
And how did that come about?
'Cause we were eating and drinking so much every day, and not to get bring it down, but my mom had just died.
Aww.
So I was really in the midst of horrible, you know. Well, you lost your dad, and so but you were younger, but not that lessens at all. But I'm guessing the experience is different,
right?
Because I was an adult, and so. Which doesn't make me losing a parent cooler than your losing a parent.
Thank you.
They're both, it's horrible any way you slice it. But I was like, oh, I was eating and drinking so much. And before I went on the tour, I was like, this tour is going to be either a great help or it's really going to, I'm going to come back worse than ever.
Yeah.
And I don't know which it's going to be. And after a couple of days of eating and drinking and having a lot of fun, I was like, I need to exercise or this is going to be horrible. And Walter is a runner.
Mm.
So he's like, oh, just go running with me. Wow. So I started running with him. And that's when I was like, oh, I realized, I think for the first time, because he runs for like an hour.
Wow.
So I was like, if I don't keep up with
every
him.
Every day?
And I would, or most days, I think. And so I was like, if I don't keep up with him, I'm going to be lost in Munich or whatever. I'm not going to find the club.
So you had no choice.
So I just had to run, and I felt so good that I remember sitting there at like 1 in the morning, and I'd had a couple beers and stuff, and I was like, I feel better from the run at like 7 than I do from the beers at 11 or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I just started going crazy running all the time. Wow. I would run in the morning. Anyway,
but
it's not the best story.
No,
I'm not
it is.
Tell it
I like
on,
it.
Not going to tell it on the moth.
What else did it? What else did it do for you? Did it give you like mental clarity, endorphins?
Totally.
Did it help work through things?
Yeah, I find running like if I'm trying to like sort something out, I go running.
It's so good.
And at the end of it, some sort of breakthrough will have occurred.
Wow.
Even if it's a breakthrough as little like I shouldn't be mad at the dry cleaner for losing my pants.
Yeah.
It's not
did that happen?
Big. No.
Oh.
I don't know why I dragged them into this. They've been great. Never had a problem with them.
They're going to listen and be like, thanks a lot, Dave.
Thanks
for that publicity.
One time they did press my pants like without a crease. They pressed them flat and so I put my suit on. I was like, I'm going somewhere right now in this suit. And they're not there.
What did you do?
I just like, can you just...
Did you like draw them on with Sharpie?
That's not a bad idea. I know. I just asked them to press. They're like, can you just press?
Oh, no, it's okay.
They did. It all worked out.
Did you go there like in them and take them off?
I went there in that sort of luxury problems panic.
Right.
Like,
did you have like a glass of champagne with you when you walked in?
No,
and, like a big shopping bag. From
I just
fancy
went
store?
Over and yeah, but fancy.
Like, excuse me.
Excuse me, my please
like
press my fancy pants. No, but I did feel bad about it because I feel like I did express some sort of like
Right.
How could this possibly have happened?
Right, yeah, yeah.
But I realized, like, you're a jerk, Dave.
But that was a good lesson.
I learned a hard lesson that day.
And did you tell them or no? They know.
They know. They never, they're terrified of me now.
No. Really?
No. I don't think so. I think they're probably fine.
Oh.
It's hard. But let's come back.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm the worst.
You're not the worst. You're so good.
One of them.
No. Who's better? No, don't answer that.
Oh. But your cheese plate. Okay. You go to Murray's Cheese.
No.
Because
we're doing submissions.
Oh, no.
I can't answer question. Because people have to predict it.
Oh, okay. This is okay. All right. This is a lot.
And at an unannounced moment, maybe we'll choose one. Or
this
based
is
on
exciting.
The submissions, we'll say that's the one. I would like to eat that one. And then we can get a chef to make it.
I love this idea.
I love it too.
And then we'll have a big party.
Yeah, and then we can have
all the proceeds will go to Pathway to Paris.
This is the most fun thing ever.
I can't believe it's a breakthrough ideas.
Look how powerful we are. We're just like brainstorming and coming up with ideas. We're on fire.
But we need to. We should probably mention a couple things.
Okay.
Oh, 78. Well, first of all,
78.
In my rigorous research that I do.
Oh gosh.
For every episode, I was like, I think I know a fair amount about Jesse Smith. Why did I just pronounce some random name? I think when I started right, I just went straight to your last name before I finished the middle name. That's your middle name?
Paris, yes.
That's your.
That's my.
But do people get? Because I just use all three.
For me.
Yeah.
Yes,
Do people call you Jesse Smith though?
In which context?
Like, hey, let's.
Hey, Jesse Smith, do you want to go for coffee?
Yeah, yeah.
like as my first name.
Yeah.
Or what do you mean? Well, here's the reason I started using my whole name. First of all, I love my whole name.
It's a great name.
But thank you. I mean, I can't really take credit for it, but I do like it. But but my first and last name by themselves are pretty fairly common, you know? Dave Hill is a pretty unique, cool name.
No.
Really?
Oh, my gosh. Not at all. Like, it is such a common name.
Really?
It's so common that I feel like I'm safe at the moment, though it could change. So there are two comedians that I know of called Dave Hill.
No.
Three, if you include me. There are two of them in L.A. One is a stand-up. The other is more of
like Have you reached out to them?
I've met one of them, nice guy, and another guy. I haven't reached out to them.
Why don't you do a Dave Hill comedy show and all three of you do a show?
Because I don't want to, like, draw attention to it. I want them to all die. No, just kidding. No, and the other guy was doing stand-up at a comedy club, and they kept tagging me on Twitter.
By mistake or on purpose?
By mistake, they were like, Dave Hill's coming, and I was just like,
You should have just showed up.
Well, I said, I'm not coming, this is someone else. I was like, but as long as we're on the subject, I would happily come.
Did you?
Yeah, and they're like, okay. I have not done it yet, but hopefully.
Well, that's kind of fun.
Maybe one day I will. And then there's a guy in Brooklyn, a writer, who has the same name.
Uh-huh.
So much, in fact, that... Well, I don't want to get too much into it because I don't want to... But he even said that he got on a radio show. It's probably not hard to figure out what one I'm talking about. But he emailed them with a story idea, and he said it got kind of fast-tracked because they thought they were emailing with me. Because I had been on the show a bunch of times already.
Huh.
And then he ended up having a good story, so ultimately... was his own merits.
Helped him out.
But he said having the name helped him.
Wow. That's wild.
But I had him on my old radio show, and he was a very nice
you
guy.
You did?
I had him call in.
Well, that's nice.
And he said...
Did you feel a sort of kinship with him?
Well, I liked him. He seemed like a very nice guy. They all, I have no beef with any of them.
That's good.
But though he was saying, he's like, it's actually been kind of a bummer because, you know, people always think that, he said, I've had occasions where my friends will be saying like, hey, Dave Hill's coming. And the person, whoever they're going to hang out with, is like excited to meet me.
No.
And then it ends up being him, and then let down. That's his so words, sad. Not mine. I can't imagine anyone would be excited to meet me.
You wouldn't say that. You're so self-deprecating and humble.
On the outside, in the inside, it's maniacal.
Really?
Egomaniac.
Like egomaniac narcissist? Sociopath?
No, hopefully not. I don't know. I don't think so, because I asked my therapist.
And they said no?
Because I assume that I'm a horrible person, and
but you have such a gentle spirit.
Well, they said, he's like, no, I don't, you are not an egomaniac or narcissist. He said, you have a lot of other horrible problems. Those are not on the list.
I just want to finish. There's a tattoo artist named Jesse Smith. He's pretty famous tattoo artist, and so when I would Google Jesse Smith, it would be the tattoo artist. And I just was having trouble like telling people how to find stuff or finding things. So I was like, I'm just gonna use my whole name. And so now we're like separate. And I did reach out to him once about a project, and his people were super nice. And so it's funny, like you can have kind of this like little like brotherhood with people with your name. My brother loves finding people that look like him and have the same name as him. He thinks it's so funny.
Wait, and I'm sorry, your brother, I know his name, but I haven't had enough coffee to yank it out of my head.
Jackson is his name. But he will find like pictures.
Chris, edit that part out where I couldn't think of Jackson's first name. No, don't. I want this to be Bear. Chris is Bear is my partner.
Hi, Chris.
I can make him fix Where it is to he? Make it seem. He was going to come over.
Where is he?
And then something happened. I think he's having a medical procedure.
Is he okay?
No, he's fine.
Oh, my God.
Whenever someone
doesn't show up. We're spreading so many rumors.
I think he's having a cosmetic procedure.
Really?
Whenever someone doesn't show up, I always say that's what they're doing.
Like, what would you guess he would be doing if he was going to get one?
He's probably just, oh, if he was going to have a cosmetic, I don't know, he's a handsome guy. I don't know. I couldn't even recommend anything.
That's
he's
nice.
So easy on the eyes.
No, that's really nice.
I could have so much work done.
No. But would you?
No. I don't think my strength has ever been in the visual.
Why?
Like I don't think that's what anyone's
Have
like.
You seen your hair?
My hair, yeah.
You have incredible hair.
The hair is great. You have incredible hair as well.
Thank you. But remember earlier when you had like that really cool like wing thing?
Yeah.
It looked like you went to the salon. You're like, I got a really important show tonight. The label guys are coming. I need to look cool. And they did it.
No, it was just I was
Well, it's because you were like talking and you had your hand in your hair and you were like
That's
panicking
all.
About something.
It's probably just days of like...
No, but it's good.
Crudité.
It's shapely.
Yeah.
Crudité.
Just various foods that I've had.
That's good.
Pushed into my hair. But you... Wait, we have to talk. Can we play your new single on the show? Or then someone will cut it out.
Maybe we shouldn't. You can play it.
We can?
We can play it all day.
Okay, we'll play it at the end. And then we'll be like, and then... It's going out. Let's go out on a new single. I'll say it like a DJ.
That's so fun.
That's not a very good DJ. You see my point.
Do you want to try again?
Well, all right. Thanks a lot, Jesse Perry Smith. Where can our listeners find you online? Go to jesseperrysmith.com. And let's go out on a new hit single. Legacies. It's called Legacies.
It is,
right?
Yes.
I got that right.
I'm so proud of
if
you.
If I didn't, I just would have said, Chris, edit out where I got the name of it.
Can you do it in like a Canadian accent, though?
I don't really know. I can say sorry, sort That's of like nice. A Canadian person.
But aren't you a Canadian? No, you're from Ohio.
No, this is it's sort of backfiring. I am from Ohio.
But everyone thinks you're Canadian, I feel.
Well,
like.
It's
Not everyone,
gone
but
to...
But I think a lot of people do.
People used to assume...
But what about your book? You wrote that whole book.
My grandfather was Canadian, so that's what it's about.
That's
but like
nice.
Now it's people are starting to think I'm...
So it is in your blood.
It is in my... It can't be denied.
But you were born in Ohio.
Born in Ohio. And you were born in Detroit.
Yes.
I'm saying it like you don't know that, but I'm for that.
Well, I said you were born in Ohio.
Oh. So you spent your childhood there.
Yes, in St. Clair Shores, Michigan.
St. Clair Shores. Where is that, on the shores of the mighty Lake Huron?
It's on the shores of the mighty Lake St. Clair.
Okay, St. Clair Shores. Googling. St. Clair Shores.
It's a really special place that's very dear to my heart.
Wait a minute.
Yes, sir.
Look, I'm going to turn my... Well, here, get up for a second. Okay. Look, when you Google St. Clair Shores, and you can see I have your website up too, but look what picture comes out. Anyone?
I don't understand why that...
Google St. Clair Shores, and it's like a picture of a blown out house.
It's very sad. That's not the image that comes to my mind.
No, but why would they do that?
Lovely lakeside living and... It's right, and...
right by the Super 8 by Wyndham.
It's a wonderful place.
St. Clair
Shores. The particular area where Lake we lived is called Nautical Mile. And it's like the only thing there is like tackle shops and like places to keep your boat and fish restaurants and just it's just the best.
You know where it's really close really to? Lovely. Not to bring it back to Canada.
Please.
But it's really close to Clinton, Ontario, where my grandfather was from.
Oh.
I would say it looks like it's an hour and a half.
Have you been to where your grandma...
I have. I did go there. I drove...
Did you like it?
I probably, honestly, drove through St. Clair Shores to get there. Cause
that's so nice.
I drove from Cleveland. I'm tracing around the map with my finger. For no one's benefit but my own.
No, I love this. It's for
but, to go St. Clair Shores looks like it's right on the knuckle of the thumb of the oven mitt.
Yeah.
That is the state of Michigan.
Totally.
Is that what it says on the sign driving into town?
Yes.
We're the knuckle on the thumb of Michigan. As a Michiganer.
Some people say Michigander and Michigander. Some people say Michiganian. But I
it
read.
It says not Michiganer.
No, Michigander.
Michigander.
But I read recently, I don't remember what it was, it has something to do with Abraham Lincoln that was like a not nice term. Like maybe it wasn't him, maybe it wasn't a not nice term. We have to fact check. But I read that it was not originally intended to be nice. But I think Michigander sounds more fun than Michiganian. Because Michigander sounds like a bird.
It
Michiganian
is more fun.
Sounds like
it can't
a
be debated.
Food.
It
doesn't. I don't know. Anyway, what was your question?
My question is then when and you came here then you've been here for quite a while now.
Yes, I moved to New York when I was 9. And now I'm 32.
I wasn't asking your age. I wasn't trying to, I could probably just look it
I
up.
I was just trying to give the scope
for
of
contextualize.
Time.
Okay.
Contextualizing. However, I have spent a great deal of my time in Michigan and Detroit that whole time that I've been here, so I still feel very connected.
You go back there a lot.
Yes.
Does your family still have, do you have a home back there?
No, but I have a little room in my friend's house, so I go
That's excellent.
To my room there. Thank you to them.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
And you just, when I last saw you, which was a few weeks ago, on a very damp day in New York City. With Sweet Lou. I dragged you out into the rain. But do you know, since we did that, there's now, and this is of no use to anyone that's listening, as most of the things that come out of my mouth. But there are now coffee shops, two of them that I know of in the neighborhood, where they'll let her in.
That's so good.
So we will not, that we won't have
oh
to
my
sit
gosh.
In the rain ever again.
I'm That's so happy. Point. What are they? Do you want to tell me?
I don't want to say because...
They might send you free coffee?
No, I'm worried. The reason I don't want to say it is because I worry that their competitors could find out and then... call and be like, they're letting dogs in.
I see.
Because that's all it takes.
I see.
In this town.
Yeah.
But
what about cats? No cats.
You probably could bring a cat.
But they have those cat cafes. Have you been?
No. For a second, I thought that I had been to one in Japan. I have been to a cat cafe. In somewhere in America, but I can't...
Where?
I can't remember.
Not here?
No. I can't remember where. I remember looking them up, because I think they, if I'm not wrong, they originated in Japan.
Yeah.
And I would go, but I'm allergic.
No!
I'm allergic to cats. But not to the point where, like, I take it on a cat-by-cat basis. Like, if someone has a cat, I'll come over.
And test the waters?
And be like, because sometimes I can walk into someone's house and they won't even tell me they have a cat, and I'll be like, I need tracheotomy.
No.
And then other people, like, I can sit down and pet their cat, and I'm fine.
Yeah.
So.
So it's, okay, so there's some room, some wiggle room.
There's
You're
a
flexitarian.
Yeah, with cat exposure. I just can't rub, generally speaking, I can't rub them on my face.
Has that posed some problems? Having that...
It used to, because that's how I found out. Because at first I was like, I love kitty cats.
Oh, okay, so you're good about it. Because some people are like, I'm allergic to cats, but I don't care because they're gross and weird.
No,
and that hurts
I love them.
So this is nice. I'm happy to hear that.
And, okay, but we have to wait.
I'm sorry, Dave.
There's so
I'm
many
so
things.
Sorry.
No, I'm the worst because I keep wanting to talk about all the amazing things you're doing. And then I just
Because
go,
we're having so much fun, we can't help it.
I go on a tangent. I'm having a great time. I just feel like the listener is probably just like, oh, Dave, you're such an idiot. But you have a new, an album that came out last year, Songs from the Bardo.
Yeah, wow, it's last year now.
Yeah, because it's 2019. Wow. With Laurie Anderson.
But not last year. Let's be a little bit tightener about it. Because it was only like a few months ago.
A few months ago. Yeah, it just came out.
Last year sounds like back in the
day.
No,
it just came out. And then...
September 27th.
You and Laurie Anderson and Tenzin... Oh, I'll screw up the pronunciation.
Chogyo. Yes. Who you met.
I met him... Outside
he
in the rain.
He dropped me off in the rain in the umbrella.
I know. I met 1/3 of the band. Or met 2/3 of the band.
You did.
And then you guys were on your way to South America.
Yes.
So you, Tenzin, and your mom, right?
No.
Your mom went to South America,
she
too.
She was already there.
Well, okay. Now you're getting the minutia of what plane was on what plane.
Becky, Tenzin, and me went to... Argent and Eduardo.
Wait, who are Becky and Eduardo?
Becky Foon, Rebecca Foon, is the other founder of Pathway to Paris. She's a cellist.
Okay.
She's a beautiful musician in person. So she and I are the co-founders
of Pathway to Paris.
And Eduardo is the founder of Cabinet, which is a partner of Pathway to Paris. And he is Argentinian. And... Tenzin is a contributor and performer and on the board of Pathway to Paris.
Pathway to Paris, though, it's a nonprofit organization dedicated to turning the Paris Agreement into reality.
Yes.
Through finding and offering innovative and ambitious solutions for combating global climate change.
That's true.
That's not a sentence I came up with, literally reading it off the website.
But you did a good job.
I wanted to say it properly.
I'm really happy you did. It's beautiful.
And your single that you just released, Legacies, is will the profits go to Pathway to Paris?
Yes, all of them.
Just as the cheese plate t-shirt.
Yes.
The cheese plate, I'm going to make you think, oh, this isn't going to happen. It's happening.
I'm so excited. What
and
do you mean?
The end of 2020, when you're like, oh, Rebecca Foon and Eduardo, whose name I can't remember, last name.
Costantini.
Well,
I never said it.
Oh, that's why I couldn't remember it. You're like, we have to, okay, it's tax time. We got to figure out where did all the money come from this year? It's like, okay, Legacies, that did really well, the single. But you know where the big earner was? The cheese plate t-shirt.
Wow, that's so exciting. And it's going to be what everyone's wearing, too. It's going to be the fashion of the year.
This is what we should do.
Should we start a fashion line? A store?
Well, all the profits, though, go to Pathway to Paris.
Yeah.
And not to distract myself further, but I'm on the page on your website where it talks about Pathway to Paris.
On my website?
On jessieparissmith.com.
Go to the Pathway to Paris website.
I had it up earlier, and I don't know what happened. It went away.
I have to update my website.
Oh, there it is. Okay, I'm going there. But there's a picture of Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers in an incredible suit.
Is it purple?
No, it's...
Is it yellow?
It's like a brown suit. Mm. It looks like it might be like Louis Vuitton or something. I don't know, but it looks great. Flea, if you're listening. So you went to Argentina with Rebecca, Eduardo...
And Tenzin.
Tenzin.
And my mom and her band...
The Patti Smith Band.
They were finishing a South American tour finishing their South American tour, and COP25 was also in Santiago, Chile. So we had wanted to go to South America anyway. But her last show of her tour was in Buenos Aires, and that's where Eduardo's family is and where he's from. So last minute, I called him and said, hey, let's put together a concert, a Pathway to Paris event in Buenos Aires. And Tenzin's on his way to Australia. He can stop there on the way. Becky and I can fly there. And my mom and her band are already there. You gather some local musicians and activists and people. So that's what we did. So we all kind of met there and had this magical time. It was really special.
And your brother, Jackson, which is his name.
Yes.
He is in your mom's band also, right?
Sometimes he plays with them.
Damn
sometimes.
It. Chris, edit out. No. Are you going to play a show?
I can't. We have a lot of big plans for 2020 that have not been revealed yet.
You can't reveal
but
them.
But I will tell you.
Is one of the things that you're going to reveal is that I'm on every show?
Yes.
Okay, this is all coming together. And the big surprise is Dave Hill is opening every show.
Closing.
Oh my god. No. Closing. That'll
Can you
that's
get one
a real,
of those little like headset microphones though?
Yeah.
I feel like you would look good with one of those.
Like a Garth Brooks style sort of. Yeah.
I mean,
or Sammy
I kind
Hagar.
Of have had moments of my life where I kind of like was trying to push for like those being accessible, useful. Like with the ones with the big fluffy ball on them, not the little ones that are like flesh toned.
No, the fluffy ball is the way to go.
Yeah,
like let them know that.
Let them know.
Don't act
don't
like you're
like,
not wearing.
Oh,
a microphone.
It's like skin tone and it's little. I'm like, it looks like a weirdly.
Yeah, that's like
a food
weird
on your
growth.
Face.
Oh no, I like the
no,
big.
Go for it. I got the headphones. I got the fluffy ball.
Oh, I'm with you.
Right?
Why totally. Not?
Because it's so nice. Because like sometimes when you're playing like piano or an instrument and you have to deal with like the microphone stand, it's not. Sometimes it can be like cumbersome or like you can't see what you're doing or it's like in the way or you want to move around.
And there's also because it's strapped to your head and it's at it. You're not gonna hit it.
Exactly.
Like I put my lips to pretty much every microphone I have used all over the world.
Yeah.
And these are disgusting. microphones like and I've done it over and over and like I do it and I'm like thank god for the immune system
yeah
because who knows
or maybe you've built your immune system from smooching these microphones.
Oh I do it all because I really
you could bring your own mic around with
I know
you.
People who do that or I know people who bring like
a little cover fluffy cover thing.
I've seen that and I've seen people who bring like sanitizer which is the most extreme move, I think.
Isn't that bad for the microphone? Or no?
Maybe.
Probably not. Maybe?
I don't know, like alcohol. Like alcohol. But I think it would be, because I'm used to it from music, mm-hmm. from like, because I'm, you'd be shocked to hear this, but I've not been gifted with the best voice out there.
But why do you feel that way?
Because I've heard it.
No, but why do you feel like you can't do it?
I think.
What is the thing that
I don't think I'm gifted with the instrument.
But in what way you don't like the sound of your voice or you don't feel like it's coming out naturally?
I feel like I'm I don't have like a. It's not very powerful.
But that's something that you can work on and develop so easily.
I think it's getting stronger, but because it started off. As just a little, I'm not quite a lion, but it started out just a little kitten. singing. And that's, so I would always have, I learned to just put my mouth right on the
microphone. That's what I'm like. I have to be really, when I'm in the studio, I'm like, can you make it really as close as possible? Because it has to be like right there.
Yeah. You know? And then, but from doing that, then in comedy, I just do the same thing.
Right.
And then you have these comedians that like have the microphone like down at their waist.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, they're just like, yeah. But I put it right. I'm always like right on it.
Right.
Just from rocking.
Yeah.
I don't know what my point was.
I saw a video of you doing like music show and comedy spliced together.
Yeah, that's what I try to do.
But that was cool. It was like your unique own thing. I thought it was nice.
Thank you. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do more, just to get out of the house once.
Once?
Just like, because you go like, all right, I went and I did all my
stuff.
But
you seem like you're doing stuff all the time.
No, but I mean, it would be nice to combine. I like combining the music and the comedy into one performance.
It's cool.
Because then it's like, you just go... Okay.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Now let's go home and have a cheese plate. Yeah. And rather than being like, let's have the band play tonight. Yeah. I'll do a comedy show tomorrow.
But are you sometimes
do it all at once?
Where you're feeling in yourself, do you feel like you need to just have a moment of just music or just comedy, like you in your headspace that you're in, like you couldn't really access both at the same time? Do you sometimes need one more than the other?
I like doing both, but I think it's. The problem, and this is all just ego madness, is where, with comedy, they're like, oh, do you need to test your guitar? And I'll be like, no, I don't have my guitar, because I'm a comedian. I don't need my guitar all the time.
Right.
Because I don't, most of the time, I don't have it when I'm doing comedy.
Yeah.
And then on the, so I'm like, why don't you just, like, I'm a comedian. I just happen to play guitar. Then when I'm around musicians, and they're like, oh, you're a comedian, and you brought a guitar. I'm like, well, okay. Or when someone, and this is what really chaps my ass, is when someone's like, oh, you're pretty good at guitar for a comedian.
Mm.
I'm like, fuck you.
That's not nice.
I'm better than everybody. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, we had a nice time. It was like food, like our post-holiday food podcast.
But then, I know, but you have to come back.
We talked about vegetarianism, desserts, cheese plates.
I feel like we talked about, we did not judge anyone's dietary.
No.
We judged people's language.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Which I think is more important to judge.
Were we too harsh?
No. Not harsh enough.
We talked about Lucy.
We talked about Lucy, as we always do. We talked about, we'll play your new single.
That seems so ridiculous.
To play it? We have to, because...
Well, we didn't talk about it.
I know, well, this is why I'm the worst.
We can't talk about, like making fun of people's food habits and grammar, and then be like, here's
the new single. No, we have to. And people are going to be like, you could have asked all these questions. But I'll do that next time.
Okay.
And then, because that way you'll have to come back for round two.
Okay.
And that's when I'll ask all the real tough questions.
Hardball.
The ones where it's like, wow.
What did you call them?
The gotcha questions. It's like, whoa, I did not see that coming. He really caught me off guard.
And like the sweat from the brow?
Yeah, and you're just like, oh, that's the last thing I needed.
Yeah.
We
talked about my shirt.
We talked about your shirt, the single.
We talked about your clothes.
We talked some extent.
Your jackets, remember? Your boat jacket and your
jacket. Cover this. So everyone go, in summation, go to jessieparismith.com.
No, go to pathwaytoparis.com.
Well, I was going to say that one too. Pathwaytoparis.com. The cover for your, it just forwarded to Michael Stipe's single.
No, it's
this
the
one.
It's a slider. You can read more.
Oh, no, I know I did, but what happened was it, because it like just went to his
slides.
That cover to your single is amazing. Who did that?
It's a painter named Michael Kerbo. He's from San Francisco.
It's so great.
He's an incredible painter.
All right, here it is, her new single. It's still going. Her new single. This is Jessie Paris Smith with Legacies. Her hit single. Thanks, Jessie.
Thank you, Dave.
survive and flourish as food, not just to ourselves, but also to that cosmos ancient and best from which we spring.
I'm underneath the surface of the sea. What do you see?
Try to fly away.
should have been more than enough. But now that so much has been lost, and now that we've all had our time in the sun, can we open our eyes to the chilling storm that frightens our souls to their very core? Can we see each day as we slip away more that this world will be resembling an old cobweb? Bodies blow away in the dust, memories with no place to exist. No one will remember us, 'cause legacies mean nothing to birds in the sky.
There you have it, my delightful conversation with Jessie Paris Smith. She's going to come back and I'm going to ask her, I'm going to write questions down and ask her those questions, and I'm going to let her answer, and I'm not going to interrupt her. I apologize. I don't know what was going on with me today. Worse than ever. I'm a mess. Does my hair look great? Yeah, we covered that. Anyway, thanks for joining me, and please, by all means, listen to our other podcast, History Fluffer, and So You're Canadian, with me, Dave Hill, from before. Support us on Patreon, if you can. Go to patreon.com/ Mr. Dave Hill. Or no, just Dave Hill. Why did I say that? Mr. Dave Hill, that's my Instagram handle. Oh boy, I'm a mess today. And please, if you haven't already, pick up my new book, Barking the Moose. Oh, here's another thing I can tell you. Barking the Moose, January 28th, I will be at Word Bookstore in Greenpoint, Brooklyn, with a fellow named Malcolm Gladwell. Maybe you've heard of him. He's going to ask me the tough questions about my book, and I'll be signing books, and it's going to be a fun time. And then afterwards, we'll head over to get some drinks at Black Rabbit right around the way. If I knew me, excuse me. Okay, that's all. That's all for now. Let's just let you ride off into the podcasting Radio Sunset. Thanks if you're listening on FUBAR, of course. Thanks to my pal, Chris Gersbeck, for doing all the heavy lifting and making this the slickest podcast of all. Goodbye.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.